41st birthday to Britney Spears. Welcome back, everybody. This is First Up. I'm Matthew Cause.
You're going to buy her birthday Aaron gift, Carolden. Matthew? I mean, you're buying paintings. Why not buy her birthday gift?
Yes, I did at an auction, charity auction last night, did buy a print, a group of seven print. That was more money than I expected to spend.
20 fingers just whispered in my ear an unbelievable idea for you. You should wrap up that painting that you purchased yesterday.
Yes.
Put the name Britney Spears on it and gift it to her for her birthday.
That is a horrible idea by 20 fingers. That's a really, really stupid idea. I'm like... The funny thing is, the look on my, and I'm looking around to make sure she's not coming down the stairs, the look on my girlfriend's face when I came barging in last night, I'm like, look what I won. And by won, it was an auction. I paid for it. I didn't win it. But it was for a good cause, all the money going for Alzheimer's.
That's all that matters.
I'm trying to explain that to her. She had that look on her face, and it wasn't the look when someone cuts a fart in an elevator look. It was the look of when you give your wife a gift that she doesn't really like, doesn't hate, but it's like, wow, a shoehorn. Thank you. I've been having problems getting my foot in my shoe. Thank you, Carlo, for this gift. That was kind of the look on her face.
Isn't a shoehorn an underrated gift for a man?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
It Dude, is there the is nothing.
Destroyed.
And it's not. It doesn't have to be for a man. It can be for a woman, too, because they put high heels on. But there is nothing more annoying when I just want to slide on a pair of shoes just to go outside quickly or just to get into my car. And the back of
you're
my...
jamming your foot in it. You're like,
You're just grinding away at your finger. And next thing you know, when you're done putting your shoe on, your finger's killing you because you have to slide it in. Yes, shoehorn. Great shoehorn. Gift idea.
Put it on the poll. Would you give your partner a shoehorn as a Christmas gift? We already do have one poll, and you can go to the First Up Twitter account. And we just want to know, what is like the most expensive item you've ever got at an auction? It could be, you know, it could be sports related or not, but we want to know, like, what is the item? You know, you got a Bobby Orr signed jersey. Let us know what you got.
If you can't get to the Twitter poll or the Twitter question, you can text us at 10:50:52 and
that's
let
right.
us know. Yes.
I'm going to open up the text account right now to keep an eye on that.
Matthew, sorry. Yes. I know it's this top of the 7 o'clock hour and we tease this. Yeah. Earlier on in the week, about Fridays being all request Fridays on First Up, where listeners can text into the show and tell us what music they want to hear when we come in off of breaks. And a listener just texted in for that reminder. So thank you. You didn't put your name on that message, but it is a nice reminder knowing that we want to remind our listeners that we want to include you. We want to make you feel good this morning, not only listening to us because we're trying to entertain you, but the music coming in and a listener texted in. Can you mix in some Hootie and the Blowfish on this show? So 20 fingers, that's your job. Find a nice Hootie and the Blowfish song for the next time we come in after break.
Known fact, Christy Averro has never missed a Hootie and the Blowfish concert, whether they're Toronto, Hamilton, or Mississauga. Someone else texted in, this ain't a talk show, talk sports. You guys always get off topic and blabber on. Not false, from whoever wrote that in Barrie. One thing, the Raptors are taking on the Brooklyn Nets, and it'd be very easy just to do the whole, wait, what did Kyrie do? And Durant is this, and Ben Simmons is that. But the one thing I'd like to see, can we see a Scotty Barnes dominant game offensively? I don't know if that's asking too much, but Scotty Barnes has 20 points or more only twice this year, and both were against Atlanta. He's kind of the opposite of who the Leafs have been or OG Anunoby was in the month of November. He shot under 40% in the month of November. And Carlo, we've seen Siakam be dominant. We've seen OG Anunoby be dominant. I'm sitting here waiting. Beyond a couple games where he's been a great facilitator and playmaker, I've yet to see Scottie Barnes be a guy where you're like, wow, he is carrying the Raptors offensively for like a 12-minute stretch. I've yet to see that from Scottie Barnes this year.
I'm with you, buddy. In the games that I've watched, I mean, maybe there was one or two games where he hit the 30 points. No.
He's not at 30. He said 20 or more twice, both against the Hawks. That's it.
Okay. Well, maybe we should put the Hawks on the Raptors schedule more often because seems to
That'd
be when
great.
Scottie comes out to play. But look, it's no secret, you know, especially with the way Nick Nurse has handled some comments around Scottie Barnes, that he's going through a growing phase this year in his sophomore year, where everything that could have went right and more for his season last year, you know, with him winning Rookie of the Year. But he's finding it difficult right now early on to the season to find that next step in his game that Nick Nurse wants to see, that all of us want to see. And I don't know if that's just him, you know, mentally being hesitant about maybe some of the injuries that he's had or maybe some of the injuries that he's dealing with, or if it's just really, you know, the year coming or the league coming at him 1 year faster, right, in his second year, and he's just having a hard time processing it. So maybe this is why Nick Nurse has opted to have him come off the bench the last couple of games, because he's just, you know, trying to put him in situations where the game gets slower and he can find better matchups to help him get his confidence back. Because, look, Pascal Siakam showed the last couple of games since he's been back the reason why he is the best player on this team and the reason why he has said himself he wants to be a top five player in the league, because he's doing the things that puts him in that conversation. You know, the shooting, the aggressive play at the basket, inside the paint, the one-on-ones that he's winning. Scottie Barnes ain't there yet. He's not there yet. And that's not a knock on him. Like, we shouldn't be putting this type of expectation on him. And maybe because there was so much conversation around him being the guy that this team was keeping in any eventual Kevin Durant trade, has put more pressure on him. It shouldn't, because...
You don't win the Rookie of the Year by fluke. Carlo. No, you don't, but I'm going to push back. I don't think there's been added pressure put on him. I haven't seen the 100 articles or hit pieces or people going after him. Everyone is focused on the World Cup, on so many other things. Scottie Barnes is under the radar. And no one here is saying he's got to, you know, taking this massive leap from the first year to the second year. We understand it's not a linear process and that these things take time. But over this entire season, I have yet to see one game where Scottie Barnes has been a dominant player offensively. You know, basketball, like, you know who the great players are very early on. There's not many versions of the Chauncey Billups or the Kyle Lowrys that take many, many, many years to develop. And no one here is worried yet, but I don't think it's asking a lot to see, when are we going to see it? When are we going to see a flash of that? And I haven't seen it, and I'd love to see it tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. The other question, like, there's a bunch of big picture questions. We've got Darren Dreger's joining us at 7:45. Where I want to start with him is, you know, just how remarkable the month of November was for the Maple Leafs, going 11-1-3. The 25 points, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, the 25 points were the most they have earned in a single calendar month. And they did that with no Muzzin, Morgan Rielly missing 5 games, TJ Brodie missing 10 games. I want to know what needs to happen for the Leafs, not to continue at that pace, but something close to that pace for the month of December.
Well, I mean, I think 500 or better, right? I mean, I don't know when you're going to start seeing some of these bodies come back, but what you don't want to see is sort of like what St. Louis is going through, where you have a 4-game winning streak, then an 8-game losing streak, then an 8-game winning streak, and now a 4-game losing streak again, right? You want to find a level of consistency to your game. And I think what the Maple Leafs have provided themselves is the luxury at any point in a season, because it's going to happen. I mean, just like it's probably going to happen for the Devils, and it's probably going to happen for the Boston Bruins, who have gotten off to incredible starts. History has shown this is not sustainable. You're going to hit a slump somewhere throughout the schedule, some were throughout the season. The Maple Leafs did it last year. Look at their month of January last year. You know, considering this was the same start that has replicated itself in back-to-back seasons for the Maple Leafs. Poor October, very good November. So, you know, if you're the Maple Leafs, all you want to continue to do is continue to find ways to win hockey games in different fashions. You know, low-scoring games, high-scoring games, special team games. And you want to continue to see growth from some of the players that have been a little quiet this year. You know, especially guys in their bottom six and, you know, new guys coming into the lineup. I think that has to be the focus. And obviously health is going to continue to be a big topic of conversation for the Maple Leafs.
And we'll get more on that. We got Darren Dreger at 7:45. We got Daryl Sittler in the 8 o'clock hour.
How's he feeling right now? Remember all the Rick Vive talk last year about Matthews breaking his record? Is he getting a little nervous that Marner's going to break his record?
I want to ask Sittler, what is more difficult, 10 points in a game or getting a point in 18 straight?
Right.
But on the other side, we got Pigeon or Peacock. People are texting in the songs they want to hear. People are writing in the biggest things they ever bought on an auction that was sports related.
Yeah.
And yes, Carlo, there is hot shoehorn talk as well. It's a packed show. I don't know how we're going to get to all of it. That's Coley Acavo. I'm Kaz. You're listening to First Up right here on TSN 1050.
A pigeon is someone you don't respect. Maybe a bit of a bench warmer.
Pigeon.
You're all pigeons.
Ah!
Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Or peacock.
You can't keep me cooped up in here, okay? I am a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
Did he just call himself a peacock?
Welcome back, everyone. This is First Up. It is time now. I'm Matthew Cubs, by the way. Good morning, everyone. In for Aaron Korolnik. That's my stepbrother. It's Carlo Coliacomo. Carlo, it's time for Pigeon or Peacock. Producer Chris Horvat is on the mic, I think, for this. I can't see him on our Zoom call. Oh, there he is in the shadows. What do you got, my friend?
All right, let's start out with a little bit of fashion. Is Brian Robinson a pigeon or a peacock for wearing that enormous oversized hat? I don't know if you guys saw, but Josh Allen was also wearing one last night.
Oh, yeah. This is a peacock move, if you ask me, boys. I loved when Brian Robinson first debuted that, and now it just seems to be trending. The Washington Capitals have their own hat. Thursday Night Football has their own hat. This thing is a hot item and something that everybody wants. I can just picture this thing being like, you know, the sort of gift that players receive for player of the games after games in different locker rooms. This is gonna be one of those hits, because I think it's a really, really cool thing. Look, I wouldn't wear that out in public. But like to be like the, like if you're throwing a party and you want everybody to recognize that you're the face of the party, that's the one thing you wear to make yourself stand out. So I absolutely love it. It's an out of the box sort of thought, and I it's a peacock move for me for sure.
100% disagree. Get that back in the box. This is a pigeon move for several reasons.
You're a pigeon because you don't wear hats.
Well, no, you know, you always wear a hat. Me, I'm proud of my hair. You are not. Here's the problem. One, it should be a great human interest story. Brian Robinson Jr. shot twice, and last week he ran for over 100 yards. This is a great story. Unless you have Antonio Gibson on your fantasy team, and then bleep you, Brian Robinson, you're taking carries, yards, and touchdowns away from me. Second, these giant novelty hats. Imagine those in an elevator. You're going to be knocking into people. Finally, it's like when you're walking on the street and you got an umbrella, and you're like stabbing people with the umbrella. Same thing with this giant hat. It's annoying. It gets in the way. Pigeon move, Brian Robinson Jr. But it is a wonderful story that you were playing, but I wish you were on the bench because I have Antonio Gibson.
I think it's a peacock move. You got to have some serious confidence to wear that thing.
Whatever.
So for that alone, it's a peacock move.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the next one. Is Drake a pigeon or a peacock for gifting DJ Khaled 4 separate 20K toilet bowls? DJ Khaled was on record as saying, and I quote, "This is not no regular bowl."
Dude, this? What the hell is this? This is the biggest, most pigeon thing I've ever heard in my life. What the hell are you going to do with 20K worth of toilets? You well, go to the bathroom in those things.
We know exactly what
you
we're
go to the
do.
Bathroom in those things. Why are you spending 20K on a toilet? And why are you gifting four of them? Who the hell wants that? Just give me a toilet that flushes, because that's all I need a toilet for. The pigeons need toilets to drink out of. That's it.
Yes, yes, that's it. That's it. By the way, Christy Averro was whispering in my ear. Chris, what DJ Khaled? What do we got here? Oh, okay. Let's hear it. Let's hear.
Shout out to my brother Drake, Six God. Listen, this is not no regular toilet bowl. My brother Drake just bought me and my family about four big toilet bowls. This is called the Todo toilet bowl. If you've ever been to Drake's house, his toilet bowls are incredible. Melissa, what's some of the features?
It has a UV light cleaning system.
It got a UV light cleaning system.
It's remote control operated.
It's remote control operated.
You need that remote control.
It's automatic. Toilet seat can be opened.
See, this with the light, the UV light, and it got this, the water, too, that splashes up, right?
What a dummy.
Night light.
What the hell do you need a UV light for?
Yep.
This is the Todo. Listen. Yo, Drake, I love
you. Tornado flushes.
I'm not even joking, Drake.
Oh, tornado flushes. You need the tornado flushes for those big ones.
Okay, couple things here. First, a remote control is meant for a car or a remote control plane. You don't need a remote control for a toilet. Second, this is a total peacock move, because now I'm imagining, speaking of move, now I'm speaking of DJ Khaled having movements. That's the last thing I want to think of that big man. Last thing I want to think of is him on a toilet. DJ Khaled is no talent at all. You heard that clip there. All he does is repeat what other people says.
He's never
done anything of talent or note. I don't know how this guy is rich.
Pigeon.
I don't know how this guy is famous. He's a total pigeon. He's a pigeon. The toilet's a pigeon. Drake's a pigeon. They're all a bunch of pigeons hanging around at the zoo trying to get my French fries.
You don't have a lot of get off my lawn moments, Matt, but this kind of feels like one of them.
Good. I don't want him on my lawn.
Yeah, he's got a 20K toilet. Go do it in the toilet, not on the lawn.
The UV
pigeon.
Lights.
All right, speaking of toilets, Canada's World Cup is in the toilet after an awful performance. In hindsight, is John Herdman a pigeon or a peacock for his comments on Croatia?
He's still a peacock.
Yeah.
You know, he was trying to instill confidence in the team. Everyone took it too hard. As I was odd phrasing there for what he said, what I was saying is that John Herdman, what he needed to do was say, I'm going to make sweet love to Croatia. Lots and lots of foreplay. I'm like Sting and Kama Sutra all mixed up into one big thing of tender, loving, patient love. But now he's a total peacock.
Yeah, I'm going to side with you on this one, Matthew. I'm not calling John Herdman a pigeon because I think, you know, obviously the Croatian media obviously blew this up and, you know, to their point, I mean, you got to understand where they came from. They felt disrespected. That was a comment that John Herdman made directed to his own team as a sign of, you know, trying to motivate his team. And, you know, a team like Canada, who, let's be honest, I mean, had high hopes coming into this. You know, there's people that saying they could have been a dark horse, maybe be one of those outside shots at, you know, advancing past the group stage, but clearly they leave 0-3. Now you could sit there and reminisce and say that it was a bad move, but, you know, a bad thing to say for him. But in the moment, I thought
it was a very inspirational
thing for him to say, and it's unfortunate it didn't work out. So he's still a peacock in my eyes.
Hell yeah, and a very good-looking man. And he's short. You see that interview with Matthew Schenetti? Schenetti's like towering over him. I think I'm taller than John Herdman.
I was going to say, who would be taller, you or him?
Ooh, I'm gonna say I would take him by just like a centimeter.
Just a shoehorn. You would take him by just a shoehorn.
Yes, people are texting in. If you are going to get the shoehorn, make sure to get the really long ones. That from Dave and Alma. So.
Somebody texted in. It's not DJ Khaled. It's DJ Pigeon.
Yeah, hell yeah. Exactly. All he does is pigeon other people. All right, we got time for one more there, producer Chris Horvath.
Yeah, we do. Am I a pigeon or a peacock for saying that Jason Robertson is a top 15 NHL player?
Oh, buddy, take your wings out, Let Yourself Fly, because that is a pigeon. It's not a pigeon thing to say. It's a peacock thing to say. Jason Robertson, oh my God, you talk about the best kept secret in the NHL right now, leading the league in goals, 22 goals in 24 games. This guy is lighting the league up, and he is, dude, top 15.
No, he's not. Peacock move. Peacock move.
Yeah, it's okay. An absolute peacock. Like top 15, that's a slam dunk. Grand slam top 15. What?
He's not a top 15 player. Get out of here with that. He's not a top. Okay, I'm gonna go down and find the 15th highest scorer. Okay, I'm gonna go the 18th highest scorer in the NHL. Okay. It's Austin Matthews. Who's better, Austin Matthews or Jason Robertson? Who would you rather have?
Obviously, Austin Matthews.
Okay, so Robertson is a great story. It's not points only, though.
It's not only points. It's not only points, right? It's like the player in their totality.
I'm still not putting him as top 15. I can find. Listen,
you're not putting Jason Robertson as a top 15 player? What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm not, because I can find 15 guys I would rather have on my team right now. He's a great story. He's young. He's doing great. And he's a guy maybe you would build around at some point. I'm just not going to put him in my top 15. I'm sorry.
Okay, but Jason Robertson is not like a one-hit wonder. Like, this guy has been consistently good over the last three seasons.
I understand. I got his numbers here. He was great last year.
41 points. Goals last year.
I know. 79 points in 74 games. And I said I'm not going to put him in top 15. I'm going to leave him just outside.
That's a pigeon thing for you to say, Matt. I'm sorry. Yes.
You're a pigeon. Why don't you go hang out with DJ Khaled and stare at toilet bowls?
I don't want to hang out with DJ Pigeon. No thanks.
Here's how you know. Like, okay, I don't know if we want to go down this topic of conversation, but when having a quote-unquote tornado flush is that important to you, maybe you should revisit your diet. All I'm saying. Okay?
20, give me the clip for that when we talk about DJ Pigeon.
Have this, you pigeon.
Feed him the bread, Matthew. Feed him the bread.
Whatever they're feeding him, maybe they should feed him something else.
Flush.
Look, he's like, oh,
I've got a heated
flush.
Toilet seat on my toilet, and
that's a dangerous game. The heated toilet seat. No,
it's unbelievable,
You don't want to become that comfortable, because then you next.
Yes,
thing you know,
I
like
do, because it's unbelievably comfortable.
But you don't want to spend too much time there. It's about just doing what needs to be done and moving on. Otherwise, you look up and it's 30 minutes later, and you're still sitting there because your tush is all comfortable, maybe you took a 5-minute nap.
It's where fathers get their alone time in today's world.
Well, as a professional uncle, I never have to worry about that. I can just, go where I want and nap as I please. All right. Happy nap. Oh, today is going to be nothing better. The Friday morning show nap. The greatest of all the naps.
Yes, it is. And followed by the tornado flush afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, rest in peace. Though.
You know what you're going to be napping at? You're going to be, so after the show, 10 o'clock hits, you're going to roll on your couch, and you're going to be staring at that painting you bought yesterday and be like,
at the auction,
I can't believe I bought this. I can't believe I bought this.
I will.
You're going to sit there and fall asleep because it's such a boring painting that you just bought.
It's a gorgeous painting. By the way, okay, I know we're super heavy. We're going to do Bed and Breakfast on the other side. Imagine being at the toilet bowl factory, and someone's like, hey, Steve, where are you going? It's like, I'm going to DJ Khaled's home. Like, oh, no, you're going to DJ Khaled. Oh, what a horrible life. Bed and Breakfast coming up next right here on First Up.
We are giving away a pair of Raptors tickets. Listen to each hour of the First Up podcast for a clue to the identity of a former or current Raptors player. And once you have all the clues and you know the identity of the player, you'll have until the end of the day to enter at tsn1050.ca for your chance to win the tickets. Here is your clue.
The second clue for this hour of Reveal This Raptor is, this Raptor played for 6 different teams throughout his career.
Rise and shine.
A tough wake-up call this morning again.
Tired as hell.
It's time for Bet.
Let's just say I'm hammering the over.
And breakfast.
Roll out of bed, maybe make some coffee, have a bite to eat.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone. This is First Up. I'm Matthew Kozin for Aaron Korolnik. Darren Dreger is going to join us in the next segment for Leafs Breakfast, and we'll ask him what needs to happen for Toronto to remain even 70% as hot as they were in the month of November. They take on Tampa on Saturday, a game you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. Mitch Marner going for game number 19. Carlo, it is time for Bet and Breakfast. I got a couple bets that I really like. I don't know if you want to go first or if you want me to lead off here.
I'll go first, but I highly encourage our audience to be very careful at the things that I share, because you can go one of two ways. You can fade, or you can follow or fade me, because my picks have not been so hot of late. But if you've faded me, you've been making
not the
some
best.
Good money. Not the best. I'm going to stick to the World Cup again, because it's been fun to watch post-show. So two games that I'm looking at right now, Portugal and South Korea. I'm going to go over the total of two goals in that game, and over the total of Ghana and Uruguay. I think these are matches that, you know, present teams that can score. And with a lot on the line, you might see some craziness that we saw yesterday. So over in both of the 10 o'clock slot soccer games.
I am sticking with football, but not football, but North American football. I'm looking ahead. I am looking ahead to this coming weekend. There is a lot of really good games. To me, the number one game this weekend is Kansas City at Cincinnati. The Chiefs are looking for revenge. They've lost two in a row to this team, including the AFC Championship game. I like KC as a 2.5-point favorite on the road in Cincinnati to go there and win. I know Jamar Chase is back, so maybe you want to chase the over of 52.5 in that contest. But I think Kansas City wins. I think Mahomes is upset. The worst football we've ever seen him play was the second half of that playoff loss last year. So I love the Chiefs as a 2.5-point road favorite in Cincinnati.
I hope you're wrong. I really, really hope you're wrong, because I want Cincinnati to win that game.
Oh, right.
Because of my Buffalo Bills.
You're still looking for it. You're still looking for the one. You still looking for the one seed?
One seed, two seed, whatever it is. The Bills just need to finish ahead of Kansas City so that they have home field advantage in case they match up in the playoffs.
Why are the Minnesota Vikings? Vegas still hates them. The Vikings are only a 3-point favorite against the Jets. I know the Jets won last week, but it feels like the Vikings should at least get that half, at least get maybe one more at home. And it's a 1 o'clock start. Last time we saw the Vikings, Kirk Cousins had one of his best games against Belichick and the Patriots defense, and they lose last night to the Bills.
Yeah, but they also gave up 30 plus points to the Patriots and that offense.
You know what? That is a good point by you, my friend. That is a good point. I still like Minnesota to win, and to win by more than three. Everyone hates Kirk Cousins for some reason. I get it. But and then the other game, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, because we've got Darren Dreger coming up next. The Titans at Philly. That is a hell of a contest. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles, 4.5 at home against Tennessee. That is another just... I mean, there are some great games this weekend for NFL fans out there.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll always be dialed into the Sunday slate of footballs, but I was blessed with a great game yesterday with the Bills going into New England again and winning that game.
Oh, yeah, and they win 24-10, and the Bills' defense does a great job. But Buffalo did one thing they haven't done in ages against New England. They punted. They punted three times in two games last season. No punts from Buffalo. Josh Allen didn't have massive numbers, but he didn't really need it. And they ran the ball really well. Like this was a game they were content. We're going to be more conservative. Maybe the biggest news, Von Miller is going to miss at least four games, placed on injured reserve. But it's not like there's a very tough schedule, at least the next couple of weeks, for Buffalo. So I think it's a smart move. It's like what we saw from Von Miller last year. In the playoffs, he was so key for the Rams. And I think that's what Buffalo's hoping for.
It's what we need, Matt. We need him to be ready for the playoffs because, you know, of his what he represents on defense and, you know, what he means to the success of the Bills moving forward. But, you know, like you said, it was more of a controlled game from the Bills. They They had long, extended, plays on offense, 7-8 minute drives, and when their offense is on the field, you're making the Patriots' defense tired, and you're making the Bills' defense stay refreshed. So I actually don't mind seeing that type of play calling if that's what they want to resort to. But in order to do that, you need your running game to stand out, and James Cook had a hell of a night and allowed that running game to be as effective as they were yesterday.
One final thought before we get on to Darren Dreger, who's going to join us in the next segment. If you're looking for, and this is much more in the weeds, prop bets on total sacks, look at the overs for the Miami and San Fran game, where you've got Nick Bosa, who's doing really well, and he's back from his injury, and Miami, who haven't been a great team in terms of offensive line. The underlying numbers aren't great. The Dolphins will be without their best lineman, Teron Armstead, who's out with a pec injury. So if you're someone that likes to do the prop bets, maybe look at some of the overs for total sacks in the game.
You
total
sacks for the 49ers. Expertise to the first up.
That's right. That's right. Gameplay. Normally 2-4. When the World Cup is done, because our schedule is kind of all over the place. So just want to keep an eye. Just add something, little piece of knowledge for you.
Love it.
All right, on the other side, Darren Dreger is going to join us. The Maple Leafs had 25 points in November, which is their highest ever for a single calendar month. What do they got to do to try to keep it even close to that sort of pace? We'll talk to Darren Dreger next. That's Cole Iacobo. I'm Kaz. You are listening to First Up right here on TSN 1050.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
Now, we are often accused in the media of being too negative, of loving the bad story, going for the clicks, the eyeballs, the ear holes. I don't think that last one's actually a technical term. So instead, here on First Up, I'm Matthew Cousin for Aaron Korolnik. That's Carlo Koliakovo. Let's give a shout-out, nothing but praise, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They go 11-1-3 in November. 25 points, the most they've ever earned in a single calendar month. They did that with no Jake Muzzin, with Morgan Rielly missing 5 games, with TJ Brody missing 10, and with their third-string goalie playing a prominent role. So shout-out to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Shout-out to our next guest, TSN Hockey Insider, and, of course, the Ray and Dregs podcast. It is Darren Dreger. Darren, good morning. Thank you for joining the show today.
Good morning. So before we get into Leafs talk or NHL talk, let's just clarify something, because I've read on social media, Matthew, that you mistakenly, accidentally bought a painting. So just to clarify, is this a work of art, or is this how you normally spend your weekends at home with paint by numbers? Which is it?
Well, it's actually, Darren, it is a bunch of dogs. They're playing poker, and the pit bull, he's cheating. So I bought that. It's what we like to call classy with a capital K.
Dregs, the real story is he was at a moose and goose event that last night, and he wanted to feel like he fit into the party, so he just walked around and started signing autographs on pieces of paper to make people know that he was there. But what he was really doing was putting his name on bids. And he bid on something that thought was cool. Maybe somebody else would bid on it, but nobody did. He ended up walking away being the winner of that. So
now
he's stuck.
Are you sure it wasn't a speed dating event with a silent auction or something like that?
Darren, if it was a speed dating event, I know what that looks like on the course of the women when they look at me. By the way, my girlfriend, it was a priceless look on her face when I showed her the painting that I got at an auction, because I wanted to fit in, and I'm bidding, and then no one else bid, and I may have bid a lot on it, but it's a group of 7. It is a great piece of work, and my girlfriend was very thrilled by it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And
awesome.
She did. I'm looking at her right now. She is daggers.
real quickly, because I have an auction story that goes back to I think Gino Retta being inducted into the Etobicoke Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, he's in there with heady company, so I'm not trying to belittle the experience, but I'm there with a large group, and they had a live auction, and I'm just in the spirit of the auction and support of a great charity and recognition of Gino's career and whatnot. Here I am playing the role of the big shot, right? And it's an Austin Matthews signed sweater. It's tickets to the Leafs game. It's just this big deal. And I'm thinking as I start, okay, I'm going to be that guy that just bids up the item, right? Like I had really almost no intention of buying it. And then you kind of get in the spirit of it, and people around my table, come on, one more bit, one more bit. Anyway, I overpaid. Let's just leave it at that.
For a good cause, see, Darren, buddy. For a good cause.
Darren, you and I are on the exact same team. That's what I was doing last night. And there's this weird feeling when you look around and no one else is bidding, and the auctioneer is just staring at you. And you're like, what? Wait, where'd everyone go? Why am I the last one at the party? All right. We'll do a little Leaf talk.
Well, Matthew, by the way, this is a great segue because, you know, the other night when Mitch Marner extended his point streak to 18 games, there was an auction going on that game. How much do you think that jersey went for, Driggs, Mitch Marner's jersey? And which one do you think would have fetched more money, the Austin Matthews one or the Mitch Marner?
Yeah. Well, in again, the spirit of the moment and history in the making, it should be Marner. I don't have an answer for you. I know that, you know, during the broadcast, they acknowledged that Matthews was the clubhouse leader out of the gate there, right? So I'm going to assume it was Meyer, just again, in the spirit of the moment and tying the record.
Yeah.
By the way, it needs to be mentioned.
You're just throwing that out there and you don't have an answer?
I think yesterday it was like 16,000 for Marner's jersey. I haven't seen an update of it yet.
It almost feels fitting, right? You know, 16,000.
Oh, there you go. 16,000 for 16. Nice. I never thought of that.
Needs to be said, the painting I got was thankfully a little under 16,000. Also, my dad, Lewis Cause, also in the Etobicoke Sports Hall of Fame. Darren, just bigger picture about what November was for the Maple Leafs. A remarkable run considering all the injuries they had on defense, and it makes me wonder, what do they need to do in December not to continue at that same pace? That's unrealistic, but to be something even close to what we saw in November.
Well, you know what, just continue with the balance, right, and the consistency, because that's what Toronto has shown, is that they can wrestle with adversity and come out the other side and be real good through that process. So you're right. I don't think that anyone should expect that they're going to have a runoff month in December, January, February, March, like they had in November. That's what they're hoping for, because any team, any coach, any player will tell you that's what you look for, is a consistent brand of play. And, man, it was a quiet but excellent month for the Maple Leafs. But you know what? And I've had this exchange with others, both publicly and privately. There just still feels, right or wrong, like there's this mood around Leafs Nation that, yeah, okay, great. You had a good November. Excellent. Good for you. You know, let's see what you do in May, that sort of thing. And I can appreciate that, I can, but that's not how we measure regular season success, right? I mean, you do have to give the Maple Leafs credit for the month that they had, for the issues that they faced injury-wise. And when you look at the standings today in the National Hockey League, what you see is the Toronto Maple Leafs as a top three team in the league. So I'm a bit surprised at how quiet it is in a market that relishes making noise.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And sometimes that's the best approach, right? You go about your business quietly and you just rack up points and put yourself in a position, because, you know, you look at the league right now, and especially the, you know, I know it's, you know, we're a quarter into the season, but look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now. You've got New Jersey.
Yeah.
You've got the Islanders. And you've got the Detroit Red Wings. Those are three teams right now in the top eight that weren't in the playoffs last year. So if they're the teams that are going to push to be a playoff spot, which three teams are going to be out? And if you don't play as well as the Maple Leafs have, maybe you could be one of those teams. That's why, you know, as much as you want to say, oh, it's all about the playoffs, you still have to play the regular season to get there, right?
Right.
And credit to the Maple Leafs for bouncing back in the month of November, because the way they started, you know, it was looking very sketchy.
It was, Carl. I agree. And look, we're 25 games in, and already we're talking about playoff seeding, or at least we're looking at it. And you know, you're also looking at the teams that were out. And I look at the New York Rangers, and I mean, we know that the New York Rangers this year doesn't have the same personnel that it had last year. but still a very, very good team. I think the Rangers are going to find a way to qualify for the playoffs. I would say the same thing of the Florida Panthers, although I'm less convinced than I am with New York. But those are two teams in the East that are out. And right now you've got Pittsburgh and Detroit in a wild card spot, and it feels like Detroit still needs growth. So maybe they come back out of the pack. What's Pittsburgh? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to figure out what the Penguins are at this stage. But I guess my point is, Toronto's had an excellent month. There's no reason to think that the Maple Leafs aren't going to continue to play consistent hockey. They'll, you know, they're not going to, again, we've already established, probably not going wire to wire from this point moving forward. But the problem they have is divisional, and that's looking up at the Boston Bruins, right? You know, so that matchup on Saturday, even against the Tampa Bay Lightning, with Tampa Bay sitting 6 points back, those are the games that matter, not for historical possibilities or the relevance, but looking ahead. And the fact that Toronto is just three back of Boston, if the Leafs can find a way to win their division this year, man, that might bode well for having way more playoff success than they've had for the last several years.
Yeah, well, good luck catching the Boston Bruins. They're 3 points ahead with three games in hand.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Hey, look, if they continue to play like this, it's you know, there's no question it could potentially happen. You can't think Boston's going to go all season without losing a home game and be as dominant as they are. Every team goes through a tough stretch. But in other news, Dregs, last night in the NHL, Steven Stamkos celebrated his 1,000th point in his career. I mean, you look at Stamkos' career, the Stanley Cups, you know, the goals that he scores, what he means to that franchise. Don't you just love seeing when players like this accomplish milestones?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, the next one is the watch for 500 goals, right? And not to jinx him with injury or otherwise, he certainly had a career of that. But where is he now? 494, I think I saw last night after he got the 1,000 point. So, you know, he's just a special player. He's a special character. You know, anybody who spent more than 5 minutes with Steven Stamkos on or off the ice knows that he's a bit of a throwback, right? I mean, he's got the superstar quality in terms of what his skill set has delivered, you know, over the years of play. But beyond that, there's much more to Steven Stamkos than hockey. But, man, you got that sense, too, didn't you? You see, and I love when teams do this, and they're doing it more and more. When they pull back the curtain, and they let us into the room, right? And normally it's a coach speak or something like that. But in this case, it was part of that. It was John Cooper handing the celebratory puck, the 1,000-point puck, over to Victor Hedman, who's been with Steven Stamkos the entire ride pretty much. And Stamkos is crushing a Bud Light. His celebration of the night. That's just so old school. But you could genuinely tell. Similarly to, you know, Alex Ovechkin the other night with the Washington Capitals, he scores two and surpasses Wayne Gretzky with the record for goals on the road, that sort of thing. When we get invited into the room to see those private experiences, man, that shows you a lot. It tells you a lot about the individual, but it tells you a lot about how close the group is. No secret, aside from the star status, why the Lightning have been as good for as long as they have been.
Yeah, and shout out to the PR teams and the media teams, the social media teams that, you know, provide us with this coverage, because we witnessed that the other night too with Mitch Marner, you know, when he recorded his 18th point. He comes into the locker room and the whole team's there waiting for him, showering him with water. Maybe that could have been beer too. How much better would that have been if they were just showering him with just, you know, tons
just
of beer.
Just a bunch of Bud Light.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of Bud Light.
But you're right, Dregs. It does show you how much the team really cares and you know, loves each other. And, you know, it goes a long way. And you know, hopefully for the Leafs and for the Lightning, it shows, you know, that their team's right now ready to make, you know, playoff pushes again. And maybe there's another first-round matchup there.
I'm shutting you off right now, Carlo. I don't want Leafs in Tampa. I don't want Leafs in Boston. Darren, we gotta let you go. We love having you on. Thank you so much for joining us here today, Darren.
All right, thank you, fellas. Have a great weekend.
See you, buddy.
That is our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. We got to take a break at the top of the hour. Canada goes home winless in the World Cup, and Carlo's Bills. A nice win for them on Thursday night. That's coming up next right here on First Up.